All right. So thank you to our video team, and thank you for Mike, who's created all three of those videos along with our video team. If you want to serve on that video team, see Ben, see some of the other members of that team. That's what we're looking at today, is love. Not really the kind of Christmas romance type love, but actually the fourth candle of love. Christmas romances are fun, but when we look at the love of Jesus Christ, then this is a love that is surpassing all other loves. This is a love that was so strong that Jesus' disciples had to come up with a different word. So basically, they didn't have a word that they saw the love of Jesus Christ in, so they took this word from literature, agape, which wasn't really used, and they put it into everyday usage. This is a love, as we talk about the love of Jesus, which has the power over death. The power over death. Last week, when we were sharing, I shared about, it was over 20 years ago that my sister passed away. And thank you. Many of you during the week were sending me kind of encouraging notes even for that, because it's for all of us, it's a lasting thing. But when that happened and I went out, I remember I was in Minnesota, 5 minutes later, I heard the song that we just sang earlier, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we may have sung that song so many times that we don't think of the words, but the words are, born that man may no more die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. This is a love which is power over death. This is a love which can change you completely. Paul said that this love created a new creation in us. So when we're talking about the fourth candle of love, we need to just think of all of the power of this love and to try to again see what it is that that is involved in this love. And we're looking in this Inside Out series, and one of the things we're looking at today is from 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, and whoever has been born again, that new birth, is loved of God. But in this Inside Out series, we're also talking about that there are different tensions, right? So last week, we talked about that there is a joy and a sorrow that go together. And here, as we look at love today, it may be kind of hard for us as we're thinking of going into family situations, as we think about other situations, to have that love. And there are other emotions in us. Maybe there's even a little bit of hate within us, because those emotions are very powerful and sometimes go together. The opposite, though, of love is not hate, but it's indifference, right? And that may be where we can get caught in at Christmas, is that we just pull away. You know, this love we're talking about in Jesus Christ is one that comes to us. But sometimes in our brokenness, then we can pull away at Christmas. So we're going to be looking at this powerful love, and I want us to think of it in different ways today. And I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit does a couple of things. One, the Holy Spirit can kind of help my voice. My voice is a bit raspy this morning, you can hear. So pray for that. But also, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would come to us and show us the deep complexity of the love of Jesus Christ. Because even in that indifference, Jesus comes to us and he leads us to a love which is deep and powerful and complex. You know, this last week I was reading in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22 it says, that's where the greatest commandment is given, right? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your body. But then the very next chapter, in chapter 23, Jesus, the one who gave us that command, is talking to the Pharisees, and he's saying, you den of vipers, you brood, you whitewashed tombs. And I don't recommend saying that this Christmas, right, in family situations. But what is it in this love, this complex love that allows both to kind of be there at the same time? And so I'm going to invite us to kind of think about love maybe a little differently, or maybe just afresh. And here's the question that I have for us today. How can I show his love this Christmas? How can you show his love this Christmas? And that's the question we're just going to be looking at. It's the invitation that Mary Lee gave. And we're going to look at this passage. So if you want to look on the back of your bulletins or you can look on the screen, this is the passage that we're going to unpack together this morning. It's a very simple few verses, three verses, but I think a powerful verses. So we'll look at these and then we'll have a prayer and then we'll allow the Holy Spirit just to speak through these words. So this is John. John was called sometimes the disciple that Jesus loved. Of course, Jesus loved all the disciples, but there was somehow where he got this love of God. And so this is what John writes to us. He says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world," that's Christmas, "that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So let's go into time of prayer now and just ask the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be our teacher this morning. Jesus, we thank you for your love. We know we wouldn't be here if you hadn't loved us. And so, God, I pray as we light this fourth candle that it would be lit in our heart, that, God, you would overwhelm us with your love, that you would rekindle in us this love for you and for others. God, that you would pour out your love, this transforming love on Hong Kong. It is only through your love that we can find peace. And so pour out your love, Holy Spirit, on Hong Kong. Pour out your love on each one of us this morning, God. And if we're here and not feeling particularly that love, then empower us, God, to feel it, to know the depth and the complexity and the beauty of your love. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So right from the beginning in this little passage, this is what John writes. He says, "This is how God showed his love for us." So as I was thinking and praying over this sermon, I was thinking, you know, we hear so much about love, but then that word can just kind of wash over us, right? So what I wanted to do is I was thinking, what are some ways that we can show each other, I can help show you what is God's love among us? So as I was thinking of these things, I thought about three things. I thought about pottery, and I thought about a parable, and I thought about a promise. So that's what we're going to look at today in terms of how does God show his love to us. And this is the pottery. This is the pottery that comes from Jingdezhen in the mainland. So the ceramic kind of capital of the mainland, known for its ceramic artwork from the Song Dynasty particularly. This particular one does not come from, well, it comes from Jingdezhen, the clay does, but the master is right here. Master Yellow is his name, and he works right up here on Aberdeen Street, and this is one of his work pieces. I feel a little bit like show and tell right now, you know, where you bring something to church and you show it and you tell it. Do you have show and tell here? Everybody had show and tell? Does anybody have show and tell anymore? Yeah, okay, exactly. I was thinking probably no one has show and tell, but the idea of show and tell was in primary schools. Probably it's been replaced in primary schools by like calculus and other things. But the idea was that you bring something to your classroom, right? And then you show it, and you tell why it's important. So why is this important? Because it's not important really that it came from Jingdezhen or is made by Master Yellow. It's important because it's empty. The importance of this pottery is that it's empty, because that's what was happening that first Christmas, is that Jesus was emptying himself in love. And so Philippians 2:5 says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is Christ, that though he was in form God, he did not consider equality something to be grasped or held on to, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born at Christmas in the likeness of man. So Jesus emptied himself. He humbled himself. So that's the question I have for you. When you go into your family gatherings, when we're all together, what would it look like for you to empty yourself? What would it look like in your workplace for you to empty yourself in acts of love? You know, Andy Stanley is a pastor in North Point in Atlanta, and he's considered probably one of, and I think he is one of the best communicators of our times. And one of the things that he likes to say is he says that his job is not to fill people's cups. His job is to empty his. And that's all our job. We've been given, and we ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the job is to empty it. The job is not just to keep it full, to empty ourselves in love. And so this pottery, the pottery shows us just a little bit of what was happening that first Christmas, of God, the Son of God, coming and emptying himself. What would that look like for you to empty yourself? And as I was thinking about the emptying of the self, and I was thinking of this story, then I thought about a parable. So if that's what the pottery kind of talks about, how would love look if it's emptying? Then I thought about this parable. This parable is a parable that comes from Denmark. And it comes from a Danish philosopher called Søren Kierkegaard. And the parable goes like this, that once upon a time there was a prince. And the prince lived in a castle with his father, the king. And the prince was close by another city. And so what would happen is during the week, the prince would go into the city with his carriage. And as he would go into the city, he would do chores for his father. And as he would do chores for his father, one day he was going to a merchant. And to get to the merchant, he had to go through the poor section of town. So as he's going through this poor section of town, the carriage gets kind of slowed up, and he's there in the carriage, and he looks out the window, and he sees the eyes of a beautiful maiden. And this prince is looking and searching for a queen, the woman who would become his wife and his bride. And so he looks out, and he sees her, and it's kind of like in the video with Prince Dan and Maiden Anita, right? There's that connection, right? Prince Ben and Anita, there's that connection. That's what happens, right? There's that love there. Well, the prince goes on. And then the next day, and he thinks, I think I need to do some chores again in that part of the town, right? So he makes his way to there, doesn't see her. The next day after that, he goes and he does see her. And again, he thinks, I think I'm in love with this girl. And so then he keeps trying to do chores in that area, and he actually has the chance to meet her, and he realizes, I am in love. I'm in love with this maiden. But now comes the problem, right? And it's the same problem that Ben had in our video, how to approach this maiden, right? Because think about it for a while. He is the prince of the land. And so he could just order her and say, come to the castle, we're going to get married. But even a prince wants to be loved, right? And so he's not going to do that. He could also just dress up in his finest, and he could have the horses and the carriages and have all his men, and he could show up and he could wow her, right? But then he would never know, did she just love him for his riches and his power, or did she love him for who he was? And he thought, maybe what I could do is I could dress up like a poor person, and I could go in and I could be there in her area. And then when I was there and then I proposed to her and she said yes, then I could take off my mask. But he felt, that doesn't have integrity, right? And then this plan came to him. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll go into the town I'll give up my kingly role. I'll settle, actually, into that part of the town. And I'll get a job. I'm pretty good at carpentry. So I'll get a job. And I'll be a carpenter. And I'll work during the day. And at night, during the off time, I'll get to know the people. I'll get to know what they're afraid of. I'll get to know what hurts them. I'll get to know what her people are like. I'll learn her language. And if all goes well, then at some point, she will come to love me. And that was the problem of God, right? God had to figure out a way to show us his deep love for us, that we would love him not because of his power and finery and beauty and being ordered to, but we would come to love him naturally, that we would have this love for us. So he sends his son, the Son of God, who comes as a baby, and there's nothing more vulnerable than a baby, and this son lives among us. It says in John that he lived in our neighborhood, right? And not only that, it had to be a suffering experience because he knows that your and our primary emotion is that we suffer. And so he had to go into a situation where he would suffer, and he suffered on the cross, and he was a suffering servant. And he had to be one who lived among us so that he would know exactly what you are going through. Because here's the point, is that the love of Christmas is not just for God so loved the world, but that God loved you. You know, when the passing of my sister, and I go out into the car and I turn on the radio and I hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I know that Connie's in heaven because of that second birth, and I'm reminded of that, that's a God saying, I love you. And all of us individually. But did you notice something about the story and the parable and also about the truth of Jesus Christ? And that is that God took the first step. He didn't wait for you to come to him. He didn't wait for me. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us, right? And Jesus says, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for another. So he poured out his life to us. And so I wonder what it would look like for you in a situation to take the first step. Maybe there's a situation in your family. Maybe there's a situation at work. Maybe there's a situation where God is calling you to take that first step, to not be caught in indifference, which allows us to protect ourselves, but to actually step in to somebody else's world, to know what they're feeling and hurting and taking that step. That's something of the love that we're talking about, but it's maybe not full, right? So this love is is expressed by this pottery and this parable, but it's also expressed by a promise. Because if you look at the very last line, it says, verse 10, the middle, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son for an atoning sacrifice. You know, that word atoning is a stumbling word, right? Because we don't use it very often. Atonement, what does that mean? It's just a theological word. But if you take the word atonement, which basically means that we've been reconciled, and just break it down, it's basically at-one-ment, right? At-one-ment. So here's the promise. The promise is that you can be one. And so that's the third way that I think we can see God's love for us is this word atonement and at-one-ment, that he came that we could be at one with God, but also at one with each other. So I'm going to share a little picture here. This is of yesterday. This is Mr. and Mrs. Green, who are sitting right there. Sorry to call you guys out, but there it is. They were married here. So Jono and Tennille yesterday, we had this joy of having this wedding here. But this is another image of the love of God. All through the Bible, this is the image of two becoming one, right? And yesterday at Jono and Tennille's wedding, then they used a beautiful verse, and it comes from Ephesians. And it says this, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then Eugene Peterson translates that line this way, pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, right? There's an at-one-ment. Two are made one in a wedding ceremony. But here's the thing about the atonement, is that when Jesus comes to us, we can be at one with God, but we can also be at one with others. And we can also be at one with ourselves. Because so often, I think, we're not there, right? We're not at this at-one-ment with ourselves. And that's the promise of Jesus as well this Christmas. So these are just kind of three ways of just looking again at this beautiful diamond of God's love versus through this pottery, right? Here's the question. You know, Jesus emptied himself in love. That's what the vessel shows us. Then there is the parable, right? That he took the first step, that he came and lived among us. There's a conflict. There was a conflict between God and us, and he took the first step to come. And then finally, there's this, because he did that, there's an atonement. There's an atonement for our sins, which breaks us apart, and we can become one. But the last line is where Mary Lee was leading us earlier. And this is where John leaves us with. He says, dear friends, if God loved us in all this way, then we also ought to love one another. And so now we're back to that same question of how will you show God's love? If this is how God showed his love, then the question is, how will you show? What will be your show and tell? What will be the things that you do and people say, wow, and then you're able to tell them a little bit about the love of Jesus? What will that be this Christmas? I want to enter into really a time of response, because I think this is one of those passages where Jesus said, blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but do it. And so we have a time to think about, what would that mean to do this together? What would that mean to do this individually? So what I want to do is I want to give two endings to this sermon, and you can choose which ending you want. The first ending is on your seat, and it's a love letter from God. And this love letter was shared to us by Cayenne, and during the devotions and staff this last week. And she just shared this beautiful letter. If you've not had a chance to look at it yet, it basically is a love letter from God. It's all verses. That's all it is. And it might be that, you know, you're of the season in life like me, the print might be a little small, so you might need to get glasses or to look at it or to have it in the light, or you may want to take it home and look at it. But it's a beautiful letter of God's love for you. You know, and that might be the at-one-ment for you, is just to say, this is for me, and I need to receive this love before I can share it. So as we go into time, and I'm going to invite the band to come up in just a few moments. And as we go into a time of response, this might be what you need, is just to read that letter and remember again the deep love of God. He's got you. He's holding you. He knows what you're going through. This is not a God that is indifferent. This is a God who comes with this complex love of the cross, and he goes through suffering with us. That might be for you. Second ending is on your bulletin, and at the bottom of the bulletin, you'll see a little breath prayer. We've talked at different times about breath prayers over the course of the year, but this is a breath prayer where you just, when you do a breath prayer, you inhale to receive, and then you exhale to allow whatever it is that you are asking God to help you to do. So this is one that's very simple. It just says, Lord Jesus Christ, you breathe that in. And then you, as you exhale, Silently you say to him, help me to show your love this Christmas. Because he's the one who showed his love, and he'll show it through you to others. So as we go into a time of response, you might want to just stay with this breath prayer and then see where it leads you. It might lead you somewhere else. But it can be a time of response that, you know, dear friends, let us not just hear these words, but let's do them. First John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. So, band, if you want to come back up, and then maybe they can just minister to us in music. We have a few moments here. We'll take about 4 or 5 minutes in this time of just receiving God's love, of also of asking that we be vessels, that we be emptying ourselves in love, pouring ourselves out in love. So just take this time. Christmas is a busy time, so this is a time where you can just be still before the Lord. This is a time where you can be quiet. This is a time where we can allow God himself to love on you and to inspire you as to what would that look like to be a vessel for his love, pouring yourself out this Christmas.